If you think the secular world is so messed up these days that we're soon to become the target of a meeting with a 40-mile-wide asteroid sent by God himself, why not find out how original sin began or slide into perdition? Founding Father Films Publishing's The English Reformation is the book that will concisely explain where the error began and exactly who were the culprits. The English Reformation is a thrilling, all-too-true story and can be read in just one or two afternoons. You'll enjoy learning what Henry VIII and the House of Tudor really did to the English-speaking Christian world and what lessons we can learn from it.
Hi, it's Mike Church. I spent a year editing and embellishing the English Reformation so modern readers could enjoy it and its timeless history lessons for years and years to come. Don't miss this opportunity to own a hardback copy of the English Reformation's first U.S. printing ever. It's a book you'll treasure for years and years to come.
To order your copy of the English Reformation, first ever U.S. printing in hardback, go to mikechurch.com/shop or call 866-483-3833.
The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive!
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe,
and your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball!
Are you ready? Let's get it on. On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Shall live in infamy. So we have another date that's going to live in infamy now. Friday the 28th of October. The October Surprise. Boy, folks. Boy. We have a lot to cover today. And a very little time to do so. Greetings to you. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, asking the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. This one actually is Obama's fault.
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire!
Okay, telephone number if you'd like to be on the program today. Call 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address is the same as it ever was, kingdude, K-I-N-G-D-U-D-E, at mikechurch.com. I'm going to tell you how busy of a morning it's been in show prep here today. I didn't even open my email. Because I knew if I'd go down a rabbit hole and I'd never get out, because I'm sure dozens and dozens of you have written me, say, Miniature, please help me update my memory. And I'll get to all of those. I just could not get to them today. So be patient, if you will. And thanks to all of you who are updating your credit cards. But folks, we're nowhere near out of the woods. The amount of card updates and Founders Pass membership updates that still need to occur is now approaching somewhere near 500. That is a substantial portion of the goal of getting to 3,000 if 500 of them would fall by the wayside. So we will be sending a mass email out to everyone today with instructions on how to update and why you should update and why you should keep your Founders Pass membership and maybe even upgrade it. If you have tried and you've not had success and you wrote to me over the weekend, we had a very busy charity-filled weekend. I cooked at another event for a bunch of people and donated my time. I just haven't had a chance to get back to it, but I will today. I mean, today is what we're going to do all day. Anyways, please go to veritasradionetwork.com/join and sign up if you're not a member, because you won't be able to access this show on Monday, November the 14th if you are not a Founders Pass member. Well, you'll get 1 hour of it, and you'll get it on the free preview channel, but if you want the entire thing... Folks, we've been talking to, I talked with Kurt Wallace on Friday. I've got to talk to Dr. George about some of the elements that are going to go into the new premium channel. Boy, howdy. Everyone that I've talked to about it thus far is, number one, surprised. Number two, just so excited about it and can't wait to actually get their hands in and start working on this, on how a subscriber... based talk radio channel, 24/7 live talk radio channel ought to sound. Remember, it's for members. Anyways, there's a lot going on here, and I promise you I will return all of your emails forthwith at the conclusion of this program today. So if you're having a problem updating your member account and you really want to stay with us, and we thank so many of you who have just been so generous, then go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com and start there. Log in, and if you can't get your card updated, then just click the support tab and send us a support ticket or call 866-483-3833. So Friday, almost as soon as we left the air, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you what happened. We got finished at about talking with Suzanne Sherman from the Suzanne Option. I got finished talking with Suzanne about 11:15. I put the Star Wars finale music on. Christopher went out to lunch, and as soon as John Williams finished the finale, and I advanced the next element in the automation software, Maggie O'Connell and I decided we were going to go out for lunch. So we went out and went to the little Mexican joint down the street where they know us by name, and we're regulars there, and had lunch, and came back, and I came back to start working on the site on Friday afternoon and some other things, and I sat right here, and I looked at that television right there. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see me point. I looked at that television right there, and I saw the headlines, and I went, "Holy moly!" And Maggie O'Connell came dashing in from the other room. What? What happened? What happened? And I don't know. Something about James Comey, the director of the FBI, reopening the Clinton email probe. Now, folks, this is how corrupt the media industrial complex is. The fact of the matter is that the probe was never closed. You got to know this. We got to get our facts right. What is truth? Conformity of the mind to reality. What is reality? Reality is that the email investigation was never closed. it was ongoing. What happened was back in July was the director's recommendation that no charges be pressed. Now, one of the things that we have found out, I don't think that this is insignificant. As a matter of fact, I think this is the most significant thing that, well, there are two significant things that we have learned since Friday. One is that, you know, Mark Kressel's like to talk about how this government is evil and it's corrupt, and he wants to break it apart or break it down and try something new. All of which I think is for, although, folks, just the more I learn, the more I pray and meditate and read about history on this, the more I become convinced. I am like Ryan Grant. I'm an anarcho-monarchist. I don't believe that there is there could be a little R Republican system, but you'd have to have the ecclesiastical order correct. And when we talk about that today, I'm going to talk a little bit about Immortale Dei, written by Pope Leo XIII. By the way, Happy Hallows Eve. Happy All Hallowed Eve. You know, this is another one. Halloween is another one of those dates on the Catholic calendar that has been first Protestantized and now totally secularized. The date used to actually have significant importance because it was the date that you remembered All Hallowed. You know, someone is hallowed, they are revered. The day that we remembered All Hallowed, it's all the holy souls, the eve of All Souls Day or All Saints Day, which is tomorrow. It's a holy day of obligation, by the way, to my Catholic brethren and sistren out there. Wait a minute, I got it backwards. It's all, Christopher, is it All Souls, then All Saints? All Saints and All Souls. I think it's All Souls and All Saints. Anyways, I do know that there is a big, beautiful mass on Wednesday night at St. Patrick's, and it is one, if you live in the New Orleans area and you want to see one of the most beautiful presentations of a high, extraordinary Latin mass, you need to be at St. Patrick's on Bank Street on Wednesday, I believe. I'll get the time and I'll talk a little bit more about it. But anyways, today is Halloween. I just thought I'd mention it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But the significant thing that we learned is that Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, the henchman, Obama's henchwoman. Now, Lynch is the one that made the announcement back in April that there was not going to be any discussion about bathroom policy. How many of you remember this? I remember watching this going like, who is this heartless, soulless wench? And I don't say wench out of disrespect. I mean the presentation of the, and we know that all children, all school children are not being treated equally. And this administration is not going to tolerate this, and therefore we're implementing this policy in all 50 states, all across the union. There will be no designations between boys and girls. This discrimination violates Title IX of the U.S. Code, and it's gone on long enough. I'm just listening to them, like, oh man, I just wanted to turn it off and run. So diabolical was the penumbra around Loretta Lynch that, as a matter of fact, I did turn it off. I couldn't listen to the whole thing. Well, come to find out, Ms. Lynch has been running interference in the background, using her position as Attorney General to try and stop pertinent parts of the investigation into Mrs. Clinton and the Clinton crime family's dealings, whether it's with email. You know, people tend to forget one of the things that we've learned from WikiLeaks, which is why I keep saying that I don't even understand how Hillary is still a candidate. One of the things that Trump is saying on the stump speech, and he's correct about this, how is it that you could have so much corruption and such blatant use, such blatant crossing of the alleged philanthropic activities of the Clinton Foundation and the official activities of Mrs. Clinton as Secretary of State? That's what the WikiLeaks reveal. That's what you see in those emails. It's obviously there's pay for play there. It's obvious these people are engaging in criminal activity. And they're selling access to the United States Department of State. They didn't sell, they sold access. It's undeniable. Did you know, for example, and I'll get into this as we get into our evidence or in the evidentiary trail that we have, and it's significant today. As a matter of fact, I couldn't get into all of it during the program. I had to pick and choose. Did you know, for example, that there is an investigate that there are currently over a dozen investigations that are linked to, tied to, or involve in some way the Secretary of State's office, Mrs. Clinton's office, and the Clinton Global Initiative. Did you know that? True. There's even one. There is a case that was opened out in California, in Los Angeles, I believe, where there was a corruption trial that was going on, and guess where the email chain in that corruption trial or that corruption investigation led the investigators in California and then the FBI. Guess where it led them? It led them right back to Mrs. Clinton. Right back to Mrs. Clinton again. The web of deceit and crime and corruption covers, it blankets the entire civilized world, folks. It's the, and I'm not exaggerating. Mr. Church, that sounds like you're jumping a yark. It can't be that bad. Oh, no, it's that bad. It is that bad. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. So this is what's revelation number one is that the Injustice Department is just that, and the Injustice Department has been behind the stonewalling and the refusal to press charges against Mrs. Clinton. And by the way, from this point of view and from that vantage point and from that point of view, it does matter who is the president. Now, it doesn't matter to you or to me, but as far as for the political process, it does matter. Because if both parties are corrupt, and they are, and if you have to rely on, just think about this. Why do we have government? We talk about this on the show all the time, for the common good, okay? If you're pursuing something or doing something that is in pursuit of the common good, then it would seem to me and anyone else, then you would be pursuing things that benefited everyone. You know that we talked about this about 3 weeks ago here on the show. I did my little presentation on Lady Justice. Do you remember? She is a statuette, right? She's got a pair of scales in either hand, and the scales are supposed to be balanced. And what else does she have on? She has a blindfold on. She's supposed to be blind. She's not supposed to know if justice is being applied to a white person, a black person, a woman, or unless it's pertinent to the crime, or a male, or anything. It's just supposed to, you're just supposed to, the justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be sincere. And it is, and the reason it's blind is because it is for the common good. Now, if in government, if the Justice Department is not pursuing and not defending the common good, well, then what good are they defending? And what good are they? Well, the obvious question is, and this is why my illustration that I do from time to time with the giant circle and the little tiny dot in the middle, which is the elected class, why that illustration matters so much. They are protecting the people in the little tiny dot that are of their party or their persuasion. So they're not doing things for the common good. They're doing things for what is good commonly to them and theirs. There's a vast difference there. And in these revelations that began on Friday, that's one of the things that we learned. Which I must say, if this isn't shocking, I don't know what is. What's the other thing that has been learned and revealed? And again, we can compound this with all that we've learned through the emails that WikiLeaks has published that belong or came from Clinton campaign manager, the uber evil warlock John Podesta, the alleged Catholic, and another embarrassment to the Holy Church. I don't know who his priest or his bishop is, but he could do the world and those seeking a blessed eternity a big favor by having a talking to with this man. But if we read the Podesta emails, we find all of these is this web of deceit and corruption that involves all levels of government and the media industrial complex and the Clinton campaign and the Clinton Global Initiative. They are all entwined together. They all work in cahoots. Now, knowing that, when we read, and Podesta's is high up, he's been a Clintonista since going all the way back to the early 1990s, and he helped Bill get elected twice. Knowing that, and then learning what was learned, according to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times reporting over the weekend, we now learn that it's not just Podesta, it's not just Jennifer Palmieri. We already knew that Uma Abedin was in on some of this, but what we didn't know is that Uma Abedin it's very likely, committed criminal activities. She lied. She perjured herself under oath. This is significant. I talked about this on Friday, and boy, howdy, you know, I got to tell you, this little network that could here that's about to be a year old next Friday, I got to tell you, I talked about this the other day, and presto changeo, guess what shows up on the Drudge Report 2 days later? Hillary's forgotten career attorney. Remember, I asked Debbie Schlussel about this. I said, isn't Mrs. Clinton an attorney? If she is found to have perjured herself, which I believe the WikiLeaks do demonstrate, how does she keep... And Debbie said, well, someone in Arkansas, wherever, whatever state it's in, that she has her license, would have to file a complaint. Well, I think it's beyond time for someone to file a complaint, a legal complaint against the license of Mrs. Clinton to practice law. And that was the exact point of the story that was brought up on the Drudge Report on late Friday afternoon. I saw it and I went, wait a minute, I just talked about this. Anyway, I'm not saying anything. Maybe let's just say the good minds or decent minds may think alike. But back to the point. Uma Abedin is as close to a right-hand woman as Mrs. Clinton has. Nay, she is Mrs. Clinton's right-hand woman. It's hard to find a photograph of Hillary when she's not blathering on endlessly at one of her and Pocahontas' campaign rallies. It's hard to find a photograph of Hillary that Uma Abedin is not in. She is as high and mighty and exalted inside the Clinton crime family as becomes. That means that at the highest levels, the corruption is not just Hillary, it's all of those around her. Now this is starting to sink into some people's minds who actually want to be around for the future and don't want to live and be governed by a banana republic, even though it may be to their personal benefit. There are Democrats that are now saying Hillary has got to go. She's got to resign, step aside, and then throw Uma under the bus first. 844-527-8723. It's the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. This is from John Cass. And this is at the Chicago Tribune, an editorial on Sunday newspaper, on the Sunday edition of the Tribune. One of the largest papers in the United States, folks. This is not insignificant. Not insignificant. There are those in the media industrial complex that know that if they have any integrity left to salvage, and if they have any potential to remain in journalism, when I use it in air finger quotation marks, that they have to come clean and they've got to stop carrying Hillary's water and protecting her. And Cass is a well-known liberal Democrat. Here's John Cass. Democrats should ask Mrs. Clinton to step aside. That is the lead editorial in Sunday Chicago Tribune. That's one of the largest newspapers in the entire world, and certainly in the United States. As a matter of fact, what's larger than the Tribune? The New York Times, Washington Post, maybe the LA Times. It's in the top five This is not insignificant. They have an editorial board. They decide what gets printed and what doesn't get printed, what goes online and what doesn't go online. They decided to go with this editorial because they know that there is something rotten in Clinton's Denmark, and it's not the cheese. But I also want to say, before I forget, that there are members of the United States Senate, Charles Grassley was the first one on Friday, that are now demanding to know exactly what it is the FBI has. Did you know, for example, as we get into all this today, that the Injustice Department was holding up on a search warrant, but it was forced to issue the warrant, a judge issued the warrant on Saturday for the so that Antony Wieners or Uma Abedin, or of course they were married, that's community property, so that the laptop that was in the possession of the FBI that was taken in the Wiener pervert probe, him sending and sexting messages to 15-year-old girls, this is what has now come into question here, and that the judge issued the warrant. The FBI is now going through Uma Abedin and Antony Wiener's personal laptop computer. There are 650,000 emails on there that are believed to belong to Ms. Abedin. This is not insignificant. That's like saying that the White House is going to have a chief of staff under Mrs. Clinton that is going to remain under serious criminal indictment and investigation for a significant part of the term. Why would anyone even allow this to occur? If you either you care at some level about democracy or you don't. And if you don't and all you care about is Hillary, well, folks, you know, Mark's been saying, and many of you people that call Mark have been saying, you know, vote, hope, and cope. This is not the biggest election in our history. Every 4 years they try to scare us and all that. No, this time it actually is. And it is because it has such significant events happening around it. The corruption that is at the highest level, it doesn't get any higher than running for the presidency. There's no pinnacle that's higher than that. To have this kind of criminal activity, like Patrick J. Buchanan said on Friday, Nixon resigned rather than fight because he knew that fighting, even though he might have a chance to beat the impeachment rep, that fighting was not going to be good for the country, was not going to be good for the government. So he resigned. Where's Mrs. Clinton's sense of resignation? Well, folks, when you don't care about nine-month-old babies that are about to be born and have no problem with hermit Gosling monsters drilling holes in the back of their partially born bodies, drilling holes in the back of their heads, and sucking their brains out to bring about death, you got a serious problem. As a matter of fact, remind me. I need to get into the, I need to update this story. There is at Life News or LifeSite News on Friday, I think, there was an article that said, no, for all of you that are defending late-term abortions, they do occur, and they are legal. As a matter of fact, in 2015, there were over 18,000 recorded. That's just the ones that we know of. Recorded executions of little children in their mother's wombs in the final trimester. Yeah, up until the day before birth. 18,000 of them. We'll get into that later on. John Cass writing at Sunday's Chicago Tribune. Democrats should ask Mrs. Clinton to step aside. Has America become so numb by the decades of lies and cynicism oozing from Clinton Inc. that it could elect Hillary Clinton as president even after Friday's FBI announcement that it had reopened an investigation of her emails while Secretary of State? We'll find out soon enough. It's obvious the American political system is breaking down. It's been crumbling for some time now, and the establishment elite know it, and they're properly frightened. Donald Trump, the vulgarian at their gates, is a symptom, not a cause. Hillary Clinton and husband Bill are both cause and effect. FBI Director James Comey's announcement about the renewed Clinton email investigation is the bombshell in the presidential campaign. that he announced it this so close to Election Day should tell every thinking person that what the FBI is looking at is extremely serious. This can't be about pervert Anthony Weiner and his reported desire for a teenage girl, but it can be about the laptop of Weiner's wife, Clinton aide Uma Abedin, and emails between her and Hillary. It comes after the FBI investigation in which Comey concluded Clinton had lied and had been reckless with national secrets, but said he could not recommend prosecution. A new Bloomberg poll puts Donald Trump, who took a break from battleground states Wednesday to cut the ribbon at a new hotel, ahead of Mrs. Clinton by a slim margin in Florida. By the way, I had another story on the Facebook page, at Mike Churchill fan page, on Friday night or on Saturday, about how rigged the polling had become between the Washington Post and ABC News. Hillary lost 11 points in 6 days, folks. Now, either A, the polling was rigged and they were not properly counting it and were improperly reporting it, or B, there's been a massive change of heart amongst those who are now being called and are being polled. Fact of the matter is, today's tracking poll, ABC News, Washington Compost, this is me speaking, not Mr. Cass, shows a 46-45 Hillary edge. This is down from 50-38 1 week ago last Friday. 50-38. Do the math. 46, so 38 to 45, that's 7 points. 50-46, that's four. That's an 11-point swing. That is incredible. Which direction is the momentum going? You know, I'd like to say that it's for Trump, and I think Trump's doing a good job of enthusing his base and bringing enthusiasm to the events that he goes to and to the campaign. I think that's fair. But there also has to be a similar reaction of revulsion against the Clintons. And people are going like, all right, this... I've been holding this water for long enough. I can't do it anymore. Of course, one of my friends yesterday sent me a text message saying that, Mike, you're way too optimistic. And I can't believe that you say these things. Because I don't think that a Hillary voter could be dissuaded if there was a live video event of Mrs. Clinton assisting in a third trimester abortion. And not only assisting in it, but then frying up and consuming the remains of the baby, that your average Clinton voter is so corrupt in their life and in their thinking that there is nothing, not even a murder, that they could dissuade them. And that's scary stuff. Back to John Cass. On Wednesday morning, story didn't print out the way I wanted it to. If ruling Democrats hold themselves to the high moral standards they impose on the people they govern, that's right. Aren't we told all the time that we're a bunch of bigots, a bunch of racists, a bunch of homophobes, a bunch of transgender phobes now because we won't do what our elite ruling masters tell us that we must? And they can say these things because they have some kind of moral high ground? Where? From what fountain do they get morality from? The one that says that lying, that cheating, that conniving, that corrupting, that stealing is not immoral, but that it is as long as the right person or someone that one of their buddies is doing it? Maybe this is the most important election. And not because of what's at stake, because of what has yet to occur. And that is, if there is any good left out, there's any residual grace. I had this in today's pile of prep, by the way. Go read today's pile of prep. I did a lot of work on the pile of prep today. It's got all this stuff in it. I make the point that rosaries against Mrs. Clinton. I'll say it again. What are they going to do? Fire me from SiriusXM? Oh, wait. That happened a year ago. I did another decan again this morning. I'll give you the exact verbiage. This one was in the Joyful Mysteries, the fourth mystery, which is the presentation of our Lord in the temple, which signifies, it's a type of God's eternal law that even the Holy Family must obey. Even Christ himself places himself under his own law. So in that decade, the prayer intention was for the November the 8th electoral defeat of Mrs. Hillary Rodham Clinton, for an end to legal protections for abortion, and for an end to legal protections from fornication, sodomy, and other atrocities against Christian morality. That's the prayer. Folks, it's working. Director Comey's wife, and we'll get into the story later on, as we have so much to get to here. Director Comey's wife, Pat, is a devout Catholic. By all accounts, Mr. Comey is as well, and has been morally troubled and bothered by what he was basically compelled or forced to do by Obama and by Loretta Lynch. And finally, Mrs. Comey and agents' resignation letters piling up on his desk finally won out, and Comey did what he should have done back in July. So don't tell me that the prayers don't work. People can make all the excuses up or assign why Director Comey did what he did on Friday to whatever you wish. But we are on the record as having said we are praying for a miracle, for the defeat of Mrs. Clinton. I'd say what Director Comey did is pretty, politically speaking, miraculous. Don't tell me that prayer cannot work and that it doesn't work. And then when we pray together for something, that we can't make a difference. You know, Mark was talking about earlier today, how are we going to bring back chivalry in our young men? Well, I have a suggestion. Pray for it. Pray together. Back to John Cass. On Wednesday, if ruling Democrats hold themselves to the high moral standards they impose on the people they govern, they would follow a simple process. They would demand that Mrs. Clinton step down immediately and let her vice presidential nominee, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, stand in her place. Democrats should say, honestly, that with a new criminal investigation going on into events around her homebrew email server from the time she was Secretary of State, having Clinton anywhere near the White House is just not a good idea. Since October the 7th, WikiLeaks has released 35,000 emails hacked from Clinton campaign boss John Podesta. Now WikiLeaks, no longer a neutral player but an active anti-Clinton agency, plans to release another 15,000 emails. As a matter of fact, Julian Assange tweeted out this morning that WikiLeaks is about to release phase three of what they have. We don't even know what's going to come. As a matter of fact, it might have come out while I'm talking. You guys and gals that are on the Twitter feed, keep your ears and your Twitter feeds open for the to see if Anonymous or WikiLeaks drop something out that we may want to talk about here on the show. Back to John Cass, under the style of Democrats should ask Clinton to step aside. This elite editorial in yesterday's the fifth largest newspaper in the United States, Chicago Tribune. What if she is elected, meaning Mrs. Clinton? Think of a nation suffering a bad economy and continuing chaos in the Middle East, and now also facing a criminal investigation of a president. Add to that congressional investigations and a public vision of Clinton as a Nixonian figure wandering the halls, wringing her hands. The best thing would be for Democrats to ask her to step down now. It would be the most responsible thing to do if the nation were more important to them than power. And the American news media, fairly or not, firmly identified in the public mind as Mrs. Clinton's political action committee, should begin demanding it. Well, I can tell you today, on the front page of the Daily Beast, one of the most leftist rags you'll ever read online, the Daily Beast has three stories that are not flattering to Mrs. Clinton. One of them even has a question in there: how in the world did this happen? How did this happen? Could Huma have been that dumb? And she left all these emails on Antony Weiner on her laptop so it could be confident. Did she not know When Wiener was under investigation and the FBI came and got the laptop, does she not know that she'd left all that info on that laptop? And if she did she not tell her boss, Hillary? Was no one warned about this? Or were they warned and did Attorney General Loretta Lynch say, hey, I got this. Nobody's ever going to find out about this. No one will ever know that that laptop has those emails on it. I suggest the latter. How about you? And isn't that sick? We are so devoid of a moral compass and of people that are in positions of power that we know and we believe to be morally trustworthy, that we assume, and we have no problem assuming.